pasuk of Dalet. Yirmiyah is telling the people what they have done wrong. They have not heard. They have not turned their ears. They're going in their own counsel, but seriously, in their own desires, right? Harod, that is evil. That's regressing. They're no longer going anywhere forward. They're not going toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting themselves close. We mean at Yom HaShoyot Vosech HaMeretz Yisrael, the day that your forefathers left Egypt, Adi Yom until today. V'ashlach Aleichem Eskol HaVadayin V'yim Yom HaShkim V'shaloach. I sent to you all of my servants, the prophets. I went to you daily, morning and evening. I sent them to you all the time. You started hearing the Nevi'im. You started seeing what they were doing. They were instructing the way it was. And nonetheless, you did not do anything. You didn't do anything about it. But Loshamoila, you didn't listen to me. Luhitu, they didn't turn their ears. The actual Sorpam, instead, they hardened their necks. Hey, Reu Meabosam, they were more evil than their fathers. You will speak all these words to them. But they're not going to listen to you, he says to Yirmiyah. You're going to call out to them, but they're not going to answer you. You will say to them, right, this is a nation that does not listen to the voice of Hashem is God. Lo lachu moser, they don't take any moser, right? Avdu amuna, they have lost their amuna, and it is cut off from their mouth completely, right? That's going to show the low spiritual level. They don't even fake it. They don't even fake it. That's the pshat behind it. Chav tes, gozi nizrech, cut off your hair. Vashlichi, throw it away. Usiel shfoyim kina, put it up, right? I guess, and make a lamentation, a kina, up on the hilltops. Because HaKadosh Baruch was rejected, Vayitosh is Dora Brasso, and he is despised, the generation that has caused him such wrath. The crown of your hair is referring to tefillin. Take your tefillin off your head, just throw it to the ground. There's no value in you wearing your tefillin and saying, I want to be connected to God. There's a link between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just throw it off your head. Hashem says that the Ne'ud has done evil in my head. They have made their idols in a house that have called my name upon it, and they have been metaliant. They have built up the bumos of Topes, Topes is a type of idol, which is in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. They have burnt their sons and their daughters and fires are shoveled to use of the all leave, but I had never commanded, that I had never even considered to be able to get around. The Medrash said that I never command their shoveled to VC is referring to Yiftach. Lo'os Alibi is referring to Mesha, or possibly Avram. You know, Mesha, the Moabites, who when he saw that the Jews were coming to destroy him, he took his own son and sacrificed him on the wall. Right? Sacrificed him on the wall. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I never wanted that. And Lo'os Alibi, meaning it never came upon my heart that I actually was going to shatzi to the Menu. That's not what I do. I don't get involved in child sacrifice. So I always thought, and I still think that this is Pshat Ve'en Moloch, but I've never seen it in any Rishon or Achronim. I always thought that if somebody would ask me, what's the Pshat Ve'en Moloch? Why would anybody sacrifice their kids? Anybody who's had a kid will tell you, there's no way you're going to sacrifice your kid to anything. So the pshat is that the Moloch priests were brilliant people. They said, listen, Avram Avinu was told to shucht his own kid, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him. If your son's worth saving, God will do the same to you. Be willing to sacrifice your kid like Abraham, right? And if he's worth living, he'll be saved. And if he's not worth living, then he'll die. And you weren't supposed to have him anyway. So what difference does that make?
I think your pshat's really good, but it's just interesting because in psychology today, we just learned that people literally sell their children for heroin. That's how addicting it is. So we know that idol worship was one of the biggest taivas.
You're right. No, you're probably right. There should be people like that. I should say any normal person that has a child would never do it. Yeah, what do you say, Dave?
Who said that God saved Yitzhak from Abraham? I mean, does
the Malach called out. That's what he had. I mean, that's the idea. Yitzhak got calling out. I'll pass along the look. Yeah, tell you that. Here, look, you might.
But, I mean, that's an agent of God, isn't it?
See, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them the Nebuah in the first place, you'd assume that at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back in the second place. Although it says a Malach of Hashem, you'd assume the first Nebuah either came to a Malach of Hashem, and this is just the same Malach, or the Malach of Hashem was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice piece, whatever that means. That he got a Nebuah, right, that he should not go any further than that. Remember, according to the Rambam, you cannot get a Nebuah unless you're asleep. If that's true, then Avraham Avinu really never could have heard it while he was awake anyway. So it had to be like almost like a trance that he went into in which he would have heard it. So in that case, you could say that it's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
It
couldn't have gotten while
he
was awake.
So he had to be in a trance.
No, it didn't say that. It doesn't say the Malach came down. Malach called out to him from Shemayim. Right? And that's what he said. So it would have to be a trance. You can't get a nevuah in any other way. That's what I'm telling you in that case. But either way, Mesha was convinced. Mesha said, well, what's the goodness of the Jews? They said, oh, he sacrificed his kid. Yitzchak. He's like, I'll do that. Mesha took his kid and sacrificed him on the wall. Yitzchak got rid of his daughter. Remember, that was by Shoftim over there.
Oh, that's when he said the next thing that comes on the house and says,
exactly. That was what Yitzchak did, and that obviously happened, right? Well, so Levin said, because Shmarco never wanted this. Now, he goes through the whole idol of Moloch over here and tells about what, you know, what it was and everything like that. The red hot arms where they, you know, the child would burn to death while the drums were beating in the background so you couldn't hear the child screaming. It's really sick. Anyway, Ben Hinnom was known for the shouts of acclaim that the onlookers saw at the climax of life when the person was dying. Pretty crazy. And there it is coming, says they will no longer call the Valley of Topaz or the Valley of Ben Hinnom. The Valley of the Slaughter, the cover of the Tophis Mein Mako, they're going to bury in Tophis because of lack of burial space. In other words, they're not going to have any other areas in the cemeteries to be able to bury the dead. Instead, they're going to bury the dead throughout Gei Ben Hinnom. Now, I don't know this nowadays, but if that Nevuah came true, that means no Kohanim can go down to that area that's known as Gei Ben Hinnom nowadays. So that means there's tons of dead people that are buried right there, and we have a Nevuah that says that. There's a mass grave in Gei Ben Hinnom. So none of them, no Kohanim would be able to go when you go outside. When you leave the old city, right, with the number one and the number two bus, and it goes outside and it waits by that red light, and you can go either to the left or the right.
Are you talking about that?
There's
valley?
That valley right there on the left-hand side.
There's tons of graves there.
What?
There's known that it's tons of graves there.
It's known? It's that they say it there?
I'm saying
never like
they have.
Wait, isn't it... Are you talking about Solomon's Pools, like right there?
Solomon's Pool is where they have the concerts, isn't it? Right by your...
Is that the other side you're talking about?
Yeah.
It's like Ir David, right? And then there's Gei Ben Hinnom. And then there's the street. There's here's coming out of the hotel. There's that street that goes up to Derech Hebron,
okay.
Right? And then down here is Solomon's Pool. Further down is like the artwork. And then there's what's that place called? The David. Not here, David. The David. The new houses. They're brand new. They're right by the Hilton. You know what they're called? Okay, they're really nice. Really nice houses, right? Right across from Mamila.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have no idea what.
Okay.
No, but yeah. That area, and there are a lot of, like, famous Tanakh people buried there.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Is that right down there?
Yeah, down there. So it's not like... But it's not like... They're in specific, like...
They're not around.
Yeah, like, and Derek Cohen, like, without knowing this,
so this would
walk around.
Yeah, seemingly you wouldn't be able to go there. Well, he said, Niblasa Almazel Lamachalo Vashemayim, therefore the carcasses of the people will be given over to food as food for the birds of the heavens, Lamas Arsa, to the animals of the ground, the Ein Macharid. They won't be afraid. There's no one to frighten them away. The animals are just going to eat whatever they want or take whatever they want. Vultures, jackals, whatever it is. I'm going to get rid from the city of Yudim, from the streets of Yerushalayim. Any sound of happiness and simcha, kol chasim and kol kala, kilachorbet yalars, because the land is going to be ultimately destroyed. There will be no weddings because they're going to murder all their children in the worship of Moloch. So all music, weddings, births, etc. is going to cease. They're not going to have any kids left. Enough kids
Wait,
to be able to have around.
Oh, this child to Moloch?
Well, Chizkiah had an older son that was given, Achaz, his first kid was already brought in. Chizkiah was his second kid.
Because it sounds strange how can a population go on.
There's a Shalosh Shuvos Tzitzil-Yezer that talks about this. I don't remember what he says, but I remember Tzitzil-Yezer talking about this. He asked that question. I just don't remember what it is altogether. Anyway, I'm sure not everybody gave all their kids. I'm sure one time was good enough for most of them. That's Kol Zimchah, Kol Chasam, and Kol Kala. Anyway, Ba'izinu Hashem, Perek Ches, okay, Pazagala. Ba'izinu Hashem, Ba'yotziu Otzamos Malchi Yehuda, that's Atzmos Tarov. And that day, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, they're going to take out the bones of the kings of Judah, that's Atzmos Tarov, and all the bones of all of its officers, that's Atzmos Kohanim, and all the Kohanim, that's Atzmos Nevi'im, and all the prophets. Atzmos Yoshi, Rishalim, Kibran, they're going to take them all off the Kibran. Why? Because during the siege, the people of Babylonia had no place to go. So in order for them to find places to go, they went into the caves of the people that already died. They dragged out the bones, dragged out the dead bodies, they took everybody out, and they lived inside those caves. The caves were made really nice. So therefore the Babylonians were going around telling people, the caves of the dead of the Jews is nicer than our houses back at home in Babylonia. That's what they would tell people, and that's what they ended up doing. But they emptied out all the graves Oy, what a kapara, right? And that ominously, that's a dishonor that happens at the end of your life, and therefore, because of that, there was zochah, we have absolution. In other words, their sins were forgiven. Ushnachum l'shamish, they spread out the dead bodies in the sun, but they were on the moon. Uchol t'vashem, and all the stars of the heavens, asher ayivum, v'asher avadum, because they loved them, and they served them. You served the sun, the moon, and the idols. You're going to be with them for the rest of your lives, or the rest of your death. Pastor, whole clock ram, you went after the Pastor Dorshim, you asked them questions, you bowed down to them, you will not be gathered in, you will not be buried. You are going to be silent as dung on the face of the ground. It's going to be media, connect media for your Avodah Zarah. You now have chosen death over life. Right? From by the remainder of the remnant of this evil family. Family. That's what it's referring to over here, right? This idea, we're going to talk about remnants in a second. The Kol HaMakom Shani Sharm, and all those remaining places that I threw you out, Sham, Nuhum HaShem, so it goes. So all those remaining those places to which they have been driven, death is going to be something that they would rather have than the life that they're living. It's going to be Gehenna for all of them over here. That's the idea behind it. And this is the idea. The Daf Sofrim says that the reason why we say the word remaining three times in this pasuk refers to the decimation that the days are going to be. It's going to be absolutely horrific. The survivors will be a very small number that feel like there's nothing left. They literally feel like a remainder of a huge amount of people that are all gone. But Machalim, you're going to say to them, Kol Hashem. So says God, Hayiflu Vlo Yakumu. Do you think a man is going to fall and not get up again? Im Yashuv Vlo Yashuv. If he's going to do tshuva, do you not think that everything's going to turn back the way it was? The idea is like this. Do you really think that it's going to last this way? Do you think that the people are just going to be, you know, punished and that's it? Everything's all gone and you guys are all over? No. Chas Shalom. I'm going to accept your tshuva. I'm going to allow you guys to repent. And now, unfortunately, you're going to do it because you don't have a choice. You're already punished. You got nothing left. What else are you going to do? Pasuk Hey. Why is this people turned away? The people of Yerushalayim, Meshuva Nitzachas, a perpetual rebellion. They grab onto their deceit. They refuse to be able to do tshuva. They keep sliding backward. That's the problem. Hikshati va'eshma. I heard and I listened. Lo chein idaveru. They don't speak the truth. Ein ish nichamora. Also, no man regrets the evil that he did. Lamor me'asisi. What have I done? They're saying. Nobody says that. Kulo shav. They all go back. Bimrut sasam to their own, you know, running. Kisus shotim. Muhammad, like a horse rushing into battle. They just don't care. No one stops and thinks about it. No one realizes what they've done wrong. No one is willing to do tshuva, and that's what it is. Now, the reason why they're compared to a horse that's running a battle is, number one, the horse is considered a very, very znus-filled animal, and the people were being punished here because of the znus that they had. But aside from that, a horse is possessed with tremendous power and tremendous energy. When it goes forth in the middle of battle, right, it goes forth and it's a very, very dangerous animal. So too, somebody who's so absorbed in their own self-interest is willing to go out there and destroy everything around him. You're blind and deaf to the warning of others. You're like a galloping war horse that is not even listening to the master who's holding onto its reins. He just goes and see what ends up happening. He's blind in his gaiva. Even the stork in the heavens, it knows the seasons and knows when to be able to travel from one place to the other. The tor, the sis, the agur, as well as the dove, that's a tor, right, kosher animal. A sis is a swift. And Agur is a crane. Shamro is Ace Balana. They know when the migration seasons happen. Amilo Yadu is Mishra Hashem, but my nation, they don't know. In other words, there's fixed patterns of basic instinct that are throughout the animal kingdom where animals are able to do something. I saw an unreal video with my kids over vacation not so long ago about butterflies, the monarch butterflies. Yeah, I told you about this.
We were in
the market. Oh, that's right. That's right. I could not believe it. Could not believe it. There's a place in Mexico where there's literally trillions of butterflies. They all go there. They all go. There's this one place on top of a mountain. It's very inaccessible, whatever it is. And trillions. And you see it, like, you're just looking around. You're just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. You can't even imagine there's that many in the world, but it's crazy. But they have that ability. The birds sense the onset of winter, and as soon as they can smell it, they start getting out of there. I saw a bunch of Canadian geese in the park the other day. I'm just like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, they're drunk. Like, what are they still doing here? Like, but they realize it. They know. When the Navi warns them of impending catastrophe, they didn't realize. The Jews weren't even thinking about it. They didn't even think about it. That's their mechuba. If you don't think about it, then you're a fool. You're not even a basic animal. You're not even an animal that has the instincts to be able to move around when it turns into wintertime. How can you say that we're wise men, the Torah Hashem Yitzhak, that we have the Torah with us? Okay, he named a sheker also. You're doing this for lies. Eight sheker Sofren, the pen that writes in vain, right? It's the scribes that are being used over here. There's no point in writing anything down because you guys are just a bunch of fools who are not realizing the most obvious thing in the world that I'm telling you to get out, that you have to get yourself out. The wise men are now ashamed. Chatu, they are dismayed by Yelachidu, and they are taken captive. Also because they despise the word of God. And all the wisdom, they say, well, what do they really have? They don't pay attention to what they really should do. And they don't realize anything from their serious mistakes, and look where they are now. Therefore, their wives will be given to other people. Their fields will be given over to their inheritors. Right? From big until small, they're all greedy, looking for profits. Even the prophets, even the Quran, everyone's dealing falsely. Everybody's doing that because they didn't care about what they were doing with their kedushin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away their kedushin to their wives. It's again a midah k'neged midah. Because they started cheating, then even the greatest ones among them are not going to be held, innocent from what they did. They have healed the wound of the daughter of my nation, Al Nikala, for no reason. Lamor saying, Shalom, Shalom. Said, nah, it's going to be peace, it's going to be peace. The Nevi'im would go around saying, everything's going to be fine, don't worry about it, guys. And Shalom. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's not going to be any peace. Hovishu, they should be ashamed, because they're doing abominations. Not only are that, they're not going to be embarrassed. They don't even know how to be ashamed. They're going to fall amongst the others. Basically, doesn't mean kashul amar Hashem, right? At the time of their punishment, they're going to fall, says God. Asofas yifenu Hashem. I will gather them in. I will consume them, says God. Ain't enough of a gathering. There will be no grapes left on the grapevine. Ain't ain't about the ain't. There are no figs left on the fig branch. The hella novel, right? It's left with withered leaves. And everything that I give them will not last. It's not going to be good for anybody. Now, could be that the grapevines and everything is a reference to Torah scholars. We've heard it tell me to chachamim that there's going to be leaves. The leaves are the supporters. The people are able to hold them together. Without the leaves, the grapes will all be destroyed. There won't be anything left. And then you won't be left with anything. Amon Achniyoshim. Why are we sitting still, says your hey, also in Abel Aram Yitor. Let's gather. We'll go to the fortified cities. Benid Masham, we'll be silent there. Right there, God has silenced us. Ashkenu Me Rosh, and He's given us gall water to drink. Because of our sins to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. It seems that these are the instructions. First, come to terms with what we're fighting against. We are going to go up against an enemy that we're not going to be able to win against. That's number one. Number two, if you're not going to do that, then at least don't sit by idly. At least start working on yourself and realizing what we have to do, not just spiritually, but physically. Let's make walls. Let's make sure that there's stuff here. Kavilah Shalom, the Ein Tov, we hoped for peace, but there was no good. Eis Marpe, for a time when there was going to be healing, being able also, but instead, everything was just terror. And that's what it is. Midon Nishma Nachra Susav. All the way from Don, that's all the way up north, they heard the snorting of the horses. Mikol Misal Zavira, from all the trembling and the clamoring of all the strong ones. Rashakal Arts, the whole land tremored. They came, they devoured the entire land, Eretz Malah, the land, and all of those who were in it, Ir Yosheva, the city, and everything inside it. Dun was the most northernmost because that's where one of the Yerubim and Nebat's golden calves were. They were the first ones to be destroyed. And then the boldest ones, like Dun, who was a Nachash Aladar, who was a snake, right? He was biting the rider from behind. Even he fell down. I'm going to send against them venomous snakes, Asher Elam Lachash, that no one will be able to get against. They won't be able to charm them, and they're going to bite you. That's going to be bubbled. You will not be able to plead with them. They're not going to listen. They're not going to do anything. Mavli Gisi, right? When I wish to be able to comfort myself, Alei Agon, about my sadness, Alei Libi Davoi. All I can do is faint from the amount of pain that's going on around here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really could be referring to him himself, and instead of saying that it's Yirmiyah who's feeling grief for what happened over here, it could be that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's saying, I feel bad that I have to make it this way. Nonetheless, this is referring to us as well. At Tisha B'Av, we all should be feeling this pain and feeling there's something missing, like we're lost. Hinei Kol Shavas Bnei Ami, behold, the cries of my nation, Erez Merchakim, from the people from a faraway land, Hashem in Betzion, they call Allah and say, is God not in Zion? In Malke Ema, is the king not there? Madoi Chisuni B'Silem, why have you angered me with your idols, Bahavle Nechor, with all the foreign things? In other words, the nations call out and they say, wait, I thought God was with Bnei Israel and Eretz Israel. To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's because there have been idols here. I'm not here when there are idols here, so I'm not willing to come in. Pasuk Kaf, of Akatzir, once the harvest passes, okay, that's after Shavuos, Kalakayetz, the summer's over, Allah Anachnu Lo Noshanu, we're not going to be saved. When was the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash? Which was in the end of the summer, right? During that time, we hoped Egypt would come, or whatever it is, but nothing happened. We hoped that the Babylonians would run out of food, that their army would regress, something would happen, nothing happened. We lost, and we were destroyed. Al Shever Basami, because of the brokenness of my nation, Hashbarti, I am myself broken. Kadarti Shamach Zikani, I Hachzikosni, I have been thrown into gloom, and I'm filled with misery. That's the idea behind it. I'm just filled with sorrow, bewilderment, and whatever it is. I'm sorry, Gilad, says the Navi, right? Is there no healings in Gilad, meaning among the Giladin, the people that are in Menasha, in Rofe and Shom, is there no doctor there? Kimadullo also Ruchas Basami. Why is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? Why is nobody able to help them? Is there no one else there? In other words, where are all these prophets that tell me to come that are willing to help them? Tit mitzvahs, Torah, that's the way to be able to heal them. Why is there no one who's willing to go through? The answer is, of course, there was a cure. People didn't want to listen to it. Me Tan Roshi Mayim, if only my head was a filled with water. The Aini Mekor Dima, my eyes were a fountain of tears. The Eka Yom Laila, I will cry day and night as Chalat Asami for the slain, for the corpses of the people that are going to be there. Yirmiyah said, I've cried so much, I have no ability to cry anymore. I've lost the ability. I can't do it anymore, right? And people, he almost like was making deals with people. You weep during the day, I'll weep at night because I just don't have any tears anymore. I can't keep doing it like that. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. There were people during the Holocaust that had no ability to cry at some point. At some point, it just ran out. It was all done. That's that. And that's what he's saying. Yirmiyah is saying, I wish I could still weep. I just can't anymore because there's just been too much. That's Parakas. That's the scary part over here. Boy. And then Yirmiyah goes through a possible idea in Parakas. We're going to stop right over here. But he goes through what could be for Bnei Yisrael, another way of healing the nation if possible. We'll stop with that.